Don Juan by Lord Byron, Canto 1, Part 3, read by Peter Gallagher for LibriVox.org. Amongst her numerous acquaintance, all selected for discretion and devotion, there was the Donna Julia, whom to call pretty were but to give a feeble notion of many charms in her as natural as sweetness to the flower or salt to ocean, her zone to Venus or his bow to Cupid. But this last simile is trite and stupid. The darkness of her oriental eye accorded with her Moorish origin. Her blood was not all Spanish, by the by. In Spain, you know, this is a sort of sin. When proud Granada fell and forced to fly, Boabdil wept. Of Donna Julia's kin, some went to Africa, some stayed in Spain. Her great-great-grandmama chose to remain. She married, I forget the degree, with an Hidalgo, who transmitted down his blood less noble than such blood should be. At such alliances his sires would frown in that point so precise in each degree that they bred in and in, as might be shown, marrying their cousins, nay, their aunts and nieces, which always spoils the breed if it increases. This heathenish cross restored the breed again, ruined its blood, but much improved its flesh. For from a root the ugliest in old Spain sprung up a branch as beautiful as fresh. The sons no more were short, the daughters plain. But there's a rumour, which I fain would hush, to say that Donna Julia's grandmama produced her Don more heirs of love than law. However this might be, the race went on improving still through every generation, until it centred in an only son who left an only daughter. My narration may have suggested that this single one could be but Julia, whom on this occasion I shall have much to speak about, and she was married, charming, chaste, and 23. Her eye, I'm very fond of handsome eyes, was large and dark, suppressing half its fire until she spoke, and then through its soft disguise flashed an expression more of pride than ire, and love than either. And there would arise a something in them which was not desire, but would have been, perhaps, but for the soul which struggled through and chastened down the whole. Her glossy hair was clustered o'er a brow bright with intelligence and fair and smooth. Her eyebrow shape was like the aerial bough, her cheek all purple with the beam of youth mounting at times to a transparent glow, as if her veins ran lightning. She, in sooth, possessed an air and grace by no means common, her stature tall. I hate a dumpy woman. Wedded she was some years, and to a man of 50, and such husbands are in plenty, and yet I think, instead of such a one, 'twere better to have two of 25, especially in countries near the sun. And now I think on't, mi vien in menti, ladies of even the most uneasy virtue prefer a spouse whose age is short of 30. 'Tis a sad thing, I cannot choose to say, and all the fault of that indecent sun who cannot leave alone our helpless clay, but will keep baking, boiling, burning on, that howsoever people fast and pray, the flesh is frail, and so the soul undone. What men call gallantry, and God's adultery, is much more common with a climate sultry. Happy the nations of the moral north, where all is virtue, and the winter season sends sin without a rag on, shivering forth, to a snow that brought St. Anthony to reason, where juries cast up what a wife is worth by laying whate'er sum in malt they please on the lover, who must pay a handsome price, because it is a marketable vice. Alfonso was the name of Julia's lord, a man well looking for his years, and who was neither much beloved nor yet abhorred. They lived together, as most people do, suffering each other's foibles by accord, and not exactly either one or two. Yet he was jealous, though he did not show it, for jealousy dislikes the world to know it. Julia was, yet I could never see why, with Donna Inez quite a favourite friend. Between their tastes there was small sympathy, for not a line had Julia ever penned. Some people whisper, but no doubt they lie, for malice still imputes some private end, that Inez had, ere Don Alfonso's marriage, forgot with him her very prudent carriage. And that, still keeping up the old connection, which time had lately rendered much more chaste, she took his lady also in affection. And certainly this course was much the best. She flattered Julia with her sage protection, and complimented Don Alfonso's taste. And if she could not, who can, silence scandal, at least she left it a more slender handle. I can't tell whether Julia saw the affair with other people's eyes, or if her own discoveries made, but none could be aware of this, at least no symptom there was shown. Perhaps she did not know or did not care. Indifferent from the first, or callous grown, I'm really puzzled what to think or say, she kept her counsel in so close a way. Juan she saw, and as a pretty child, caressed him often. Such a thing might be quite innocently done, and harmless styled, when she had 20 years and 13 he. But I'm not so sure I should have smiled when he was 16, Julia 23. These few short years make wondrous alterations, particularly among the sunburnt nations. Whatever the cause might be, they had become changed, for the dame grew distant, the youth shy, their looks cast down, their greetings almost down, and much embarrassment in either eye. There surely will be little doubt with some that Donna Julia knew the reason why, but as for Juan, he had no more notion than he who never saw the sea of ocean. Yet Julia's very coldness still was kind, and tremulously gentle her small hand withdrew itself from his, but left behind a little pressure, thrilling, and so bland and slight, so very slight, that to the mind was but a doubt. But ne'er magician's wand wrought change with all Armida's fairy art like what this light touch left on Juan's heart. And if she met him, though she smiled no more, she looked a sadness sweeter than her smile, as if her heart had deeper thoughts in store she must not own, but cherished more the while for that compression in its burning core. Even innocence itself has many a wile, and will not dare to trust itself with truth, and love is taught hypocrisy from youth. But passion most dissembles, yet betrays even by its darkness. As the blackest sky foretells the heaviest tempest, it displays its workings through the vainly guarded eye, and in whatever aspect it arrays itself, 'tis still the same hypocrisy. Coldness or anger, even disdain or hate, are masks it often wears, and still too late. Then there were sighs, the deeper for suppression, and stolen glances sweeter for the theft, and burning blushes, though for no transgression, tremblings when met, and restlessness when left. All these are little preludes to possession, of which young passion cannot be bereft, and merely tend to show how greatly love is embarrassed, at first starting with a novice. Poor Julia's heart was in an awkward state, she felt it going, and resolved to make the noblest efforts for herself and mate, for honours, prides, religions, virtue's sake, her resolutions were most truly great, and almost might have made a Tarquin quake. She prayed the Virgin Mary for her grace, as being the best judge of a lady's case. She vowed she never would see Juan more, and next day paid a visit to his mother, and looked extremely at the opening door, which, by the Virgin's grace, let in another. Grateful she was, and yet a little sore, again it opens, it can be no other, 'tis surely Juan now. No, I'm afraid that night the Virgin was no further prayed. She now determined that a virtuous woman should rather face and overcome temptation, that flight was base and dastardly, and no man should ever give her heart the least sensation, that is to say, a thought beyond the common preference that we must feel upon occasion for people who are pleasanter than others. But then they only seem so many brothers, and even if by chance, and who can tell the devil so very sly, she should discover that all within was not so very well, and, if still free, that such or such a lover might please, perhaps, a virtuous wife can quell such thoughts, and be the better when they're over. And if the man should ask, 'tis but denial. I recommend young ladies to make trial. And then there are such things as love divine, bright and immaculate, unmixed and pure, such as the angels think so very fine, and matrons who would be no less secure. Platonic, perfect, just such love as mine, thus Julia said, and thought so, to be sure. And so I'd have her think, were I the man on whom her reveries celestial ran. Such love is innocent, and may exist between young persons without any danger. A hand may first, and then a lip be kissed. For my part, to such doings I'm a stranger, but here these freedoms form the utmost list of all o'er which such love may be a ranger. If people go beyond, 'tis quite a crime, but not my fault. I tell them all in time. Love, then, but love within its proper limits, was Julia's innocent determination in young Don Juan's favour, and to him its exertion might be useful on occasion. And, lighted at too pure a shrine to dim its ethereal lustre, with what sweet persuasions he might be taught by love and her together, I really don't know what, nor Julia either. Fraught with this fine intention, and well fenced in mail of proof, her purity of soul, she, for the future of her strength, convinced. And that her honour was a rock or mole, exceeding sagely from that hour dispensed with any kind of troublesome control. But whether Julia to the task was equal, is that which must be mentioned in the sequel. Her plan she deemed both innocent and feasible. And surely with a stripling of 16, not scandal's fangs could fix on much that's seizable, or if they did so, satisfied to mean nothing but what was good. Her breast was peaceable. A quiet conscience makes one so serene. Christians have burnt each other, quite persuaded that all the apostles would have done as they did. And if in the meantime her husband died, but heaven forbid that such a thought should cross her brain, though in a dream, and then she sighed, never could she survive that common loss. But just suppose that moment should betide, I only say suppose it, into nos. This should be entre nous, for Julia thought in French, but then the rhyme would go for naught. I only say suppose this supposition. Juan, being then grown up to man's estate, would fully suit a widow of condition. Even 7 years hence it would not be too late. And in the interim, to pursue this vision, the mischief, after all, could not be great, for he would learn the rudiments of love, I mean, the seraph ways of those above. This recording is in the public domain.